Turn your tax refund into new tile at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. We carry a great selection of over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from. Head into Menards and let our helpful team get you everything you need for your tile project today. Save big money at
Menards. Here to join us and talk about the fact about this funding issue is Jim Matthews from the National Association for Railroad Passengers. Jim, welcome to Mornings on the Mall. Thanks for taking out some time for us today.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you're not happy with these cuts. Why?
Well, primarily because the way that it targets the national network, it really is the beginning of the end of Amtrak as we know it. You know, there's this idea that, well, we can cut the long-distance service and the state-supported routes and the Northeast Corridor will be fine, but it just doesn't work that way. You know, the network works as a network, as a single entity. And once you start shutting down those long-distance routes, there's really, you begin to have no point in having the rest of the services.
But is there ever going to be a time, though, where those long-distance routes are profitable for Amtrak?
Well, let's ask a different question. Is there ever going to be a time when roads are profitable? I mean, it's the same kind of thing. The roads, if you were to look apples to apples, roads make about 54% of their costs, and then the rest gets subsidized. We top it up every single year from general tax revenues. You got to look instead at the value of the transportation that it provides. And rail routes make money for all kinds of folks in and around the communities that they serve. Everywhere you put in a train service, you have economic development. You have economic growth. Sometimes the return is $3 for every dollar. Sometimes it's higher. There are communities like Salt Lake where we've seen it as high as $9 for every dollar.
What?
So it's not a question of whether the route itself makes money. It's about, is it an economic driver in the communities that it serves? Nobody asks if the Springfield Interchange makes money, but the Springfield Interchange certainly made a lot better situation for people trying to go through the mixing bowl.
Jim, I'm kind of on your side on this. I'm a frequent rider. I take the Excel up all the time. I'm a Select Plus member. I just took my son down to Williamsburg via the train. I love the train, but I don't know if I buy what you're saying by the fact that freight rail, BNSF, Norfolk Southern, they all make money, and they're not subsidized by the government. They are regulated by the government, not subsidized. So my first part of the question is, why don't we think about privatization of Amtrak, putting it back? You know, I know the railroads dumped it all in 71, and Amtrak had to pick it up, and I get that. But, you know, is it time we rethink that? And secondly, you know, look, I'm a frequent user of Union Station, of Penn Station in New York. I waited 5 hours the other day because of track problems, and that is an Amtrak issue. So, you know, has Amtrak not kept up with the times? And, you know, as much as, you know, the Excel is a great train, it's being beat to death. That thing's been going since 2001. So I'm not sure if the best economic decisions are being made by the railroad.
Well, you know, that's debatable. I mean, certainly Penn Station is the victim of decades of neglect.
True.
And
it's
you know, there's an awful lot of blame to go around there. You know, it's a little hard to say that that's entirely Amtrak's
fault. No, but Amtrak is responsible. I mean, they're the ones in charge of it. So I'm just saying that, you know, that I'm just saying, is there a better way of actually kind of pushing the money where it needs to be to help Amtrak become more profitable?
Well, but we have to recognize that investment capital has to come from somewhere, you know. And you know, we've had this conversation a lot about, you know, privatizing, for example, the Northeast Corridor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the Northeast Corridor, you got a $52 billion backlog just of state of good repair investments. Okay, that's the boring stuff that they don't do ribbon cuttings for, but it's ties, it's rail, it's ballast, it's all those kinds of things, and I would be hard pressed to find private industry willing to sign up to take on, you know, that kind of a liability before they can even start to consider making money. You know, the fact is, you have to look at public-private partnership. We have to look at the role that federal dollars can play in leveraging private investment. You know, and that I think is where there's the biggest opportunity. You know, I don't think we need to have a fully 100% you know, government-run, government-owned, government-financed system. But certainly there's a role for the federal government to play, and there's a role for the federal spending. And when you look at the amount of money that Amtrak gets in federal spending related to other relative to other modes. It just doesn't even, it can't even begin to keep up. It's very hard to think that Amtrak has the ability to make the investments that it needs to make, not only in Penn Station, but anywhere in the system, based on the sort of, you know, meager rations that they've had to endure for many years.
I think it sounds to me, and you'll be able to better explain this to me, that the Trump administration seems to be headed in that direction in the sense that they want funding agreements, they want grant agreements that they can get. And the point here is that they're saying, look, we want the localities that benefit from these metro, from these Amtrak stations, to pay for them. And if they do, then federal money can come in and come in alongside of it. But right now, they only want to fund the things where they actually have agreements. Is that right?
That's pretty close. And again, I think that kind of misses the real point of the investment. You know, you look at a place like New York City. Sure, they can put some skin in the game. Look at a place like Wolf Point, Montana. Right, if you live in Wolf Point, Montana, and you're in your 80s, so you can't drive, you don't see well, and you need to get to St. Louis, say, because that's where your kids are. How are you going to do that? You can't really fly legitimately. You know, the airfare is 78% more to fly from Wolf Point to St. Louis than it is to take the train. Train's $163, and it's 22 hours to take the train, and it's 33 hours to fly because you can't go direct, and it's $291. So are we saying Wolf Point is going to have to come up with the money to service Amtrak in Wolf Point?
Why not?
I
believe in local partners.
None of these small communities have it. And that's again, if you look at the way that the system is built, we spread the costs out so that more communities can be served. 220 communities would lose their service entirely, and these are mostly communities that are smaller communities. 144 million people would lose their access to Amtrak if this budget goes through.
All right, Jim Matthews from the National Association for Railroad Passengers.
Saving money on your next project with help from Menards. Be prepared for flooding and keep your basement dry with Barracuda pumps. Barracuda makes high-quality pumps that offer dependable performance for when you need it most. Save big money on all Barracuda pumps now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.